name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mother of the Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, taking the refrain from the Exalted, that song, singing the praises of the Easter candle, I'll begin the reflection in this way. This is the night, and it's the night of the most determinative event in all of human history. It is the night of the passage of our Savior, the head of the mystical body of Christ, the mystical body, the Son of God made man, the passage from death to life, from humiliation to victory, from the tomb to the throne. It is the night of the renewal of the universe, fallen and contaminated since the beginning, which is reconciled this night with its Creator and receives the pledge and promise of future glory. Furthermore, it is the night of our own personal rebirth from water and the Holy Spirit. We all revive this night the blessing of our baptism with grateful spirit by way of the readings and prayers of this vigil. And we are united in spirit with all the church throughout the entire world this night when she receives so many new daughters and sons through the rites of Christian initiation. And maybe some here tonight entered the church on Easter, at the Easter vigil, some year or years ago. And so we celebrate at the birth to the life of grace of brothers and sisters. We have just come through the commemoration of the passion and death of our Lord, who on the cross took leave of this earthly life with a loud cry. And in his cry, we can hear the expression of anguish of all humanity, that loud cry of all the sons of Adam to God the Father, who seems to have abandoned them. His rising again, however, takes place in the quiet darkness and stillness of this night. There are no witnesses of that moment in which He with powerful longing took up the new life of the resurrection. Nonetheless, the astounding news that the prophet of Nazareth has been revived spreads and little by little becomes known, not unlike the dawning of a new day. At first, there is bewilderment and anxiety at the sight of the empty tomb, with the funeral wrappings folded and laid orderly on the stone. And then the worrying turns to whispering among the women, who, full of trembling and astonishment, tell of their having received the joyous message of the angel. And finally, Jesus himself, alive and resplendent, the truth and integrity of his being authenticated by the scars and wounds in his hands and side. He shows himself and speaks to Mary Magdalene, then to Peter, to James, to the travelers on the road to Emmaus, to the apostles, and finally to more than 500 disciples. And the announcement of those days, "The Lord is risen," has never been silenced and has spread from heart to heart, from generation to generation. It has come down across centuries and over oceans, and we, this night, once again proclaim with joyous knowledge that this resurrection is the beginning, the principle of our own resurrection, and that Christ's death over triumph is the beginning and cause of our triumph, and his awakening to a transfigured and everlasting existence is the premise of our interior justification and of our possession of the inheritance of God. We'll remember from the Gospels during his lifetime, the sons of thunder, those reckless sons of Zebedee, had asked, hoping to share and have a nice career in a worldly reign with our Lord. They asked to be seated at his right and his left. And our Lord asked, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And in that question, he revealed that his truest baptism would be his paschal experience of the passion and death and resurrection. Christian life, which begins with the washing of regeneration and the renewal in the Holy Spirit, is therefore in substance an insertion into the baptism of Christ, that is, into his pash, or the Passover. The word pash from Hebrew refers to that commemoration ordained and ordered by God to be celebrated every year as a memory of the passage and deliverance of Israel from the bondage in Egypt. And so our baptism is essentially a participation in Christ's paschal mystery. And he who is the firstborn of the resurrected wanted that all men should be involved in his happy passage. He was freed then from every misery, every earthly condition, and he ordained that by means of baptism we too might walk through this world imbued with a freedom that is a reflection of his. Freedom from the darkness of error and from the fog of doubt. Freedom from the fear of a death that ends in annihilation. Freedom from the sins we've committed. Freedom from our inherent weakness in the face of evil forces. We just heard in the epistle reading from St. Paul this clear teaching. We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. Consequently, we must think of ourselves as being dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. So this long vigil, accentuated with so many profound readings from sacred scripture that tell us the truth of our life, of our existence as human beings, and of our destiny. In this all, we are celebrating precisely our liberty. And no man is more free than the one who has been ransomed by the sacrifice of Christ. No man is more free than the one who has been wholly refashioned in his resurrection. No man is more free than the one who allows himself every day to be guided by the light and energy of the Holy Spirit sent to us by the Lord, who sits at the right hand of the Father. The greatest oppression is not something that's external to us. If ever we feel alienated, isolated, in some way cut off, in some way bound, we should know that the root of every such oppression lies within us The Holy Spirit, however, who was bestowed on us in baptism, cuts all the bonds of any tyranny, the tyranny of the senses, which makes us slaves to a disordered desire for pleasure, which is never satisfied, or the tyranny of greed for material goods, which often induces men to dishonesty, to cheating, to taking advantage of others, and in the end, to a hardness of heart. The Holy Spirit cuts through the bondage of ambition for power and the bondage of pride, which drives men to put themselves in the place of God and lord it over others. Therefore, this night of passage, of deliverance, and of the resurrection, is the one truly undeniable and universal feast of man's liberation. We pray through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of our Lord and Redeemer, who tradition holds was the first to whom Jesus appeared, even before the women at the tomb saw him, which was recorded in sacred scripture. But tradition tells us that before that, our Lord went and showed himself to his mother. And we pray through her intercession to have the knowledge and never lose our certainty that this profound freedom that we enjoy because of Christ's sacrifice and because of our baptism and our life in Christ, that such a liberty is the fruit of a pureness of conscience that is achieved in the fire of the Holy Spirit, and that any other freedom which doesn't come from this purification of the conscience will never amount to the full and true liberty, but is simply an illusion. The world is seeking after many liberties, but any liberty that isn't from Christ isn't true liberty, and in the end leads back to bondage. With the vigor and vitality that comes from the life of grace, we celebrate with the church with gratitude for the gift of life that comes to us through Jesus and through his sacrifice on the cross, his death, and as we celebrate this night, his glorious and everlasting resurrection. Praise be Jesus and Mary.